Coming up on this edition of RCN Sports Talk, we'll recap the District 11 basketball playoffs so far and preview the upcoming rounds of the postseason, plus state basketball predictions, our awards to the top regular season teams, coaches, and players, and a recap of the latest high school basketball action in the Washington, D.C. region. And what should the 76ers do with Jahlil Okafor? These topics and more on today's edition of RCN Sports Talk. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to RCN Sports Talk. We have a great 60 minutes of programming lined up for you, so let's get to the introductions of our special guest tonight. In studio, we have, from Lehigh Valley BasketballRankings.com, Andre Williams and Tume Anderson, RCN's basketball analyst on the lead announcing crew, Mr. Tom Stout. And joining us after he said he was going to be gone for two whole weeks and coming back early, showing up on our doorstep hours before tonight's show, Mr. Joseph Linwood Craig. Now, Joe, you proclaim to be this great public education teacher for many, many years. How many days are in a two-week span? Because you said you were not going to be here for 2 weeks. How many days?
Well, let me ask you this. I'll say this to you like
I do. Is this too hard a question?
Do I say to a lot of people?
How many days in 1 week?
Do you want me to tell you what I think you want to hear or what
I
really believe?
I want you to tell me the truth. How many days are in a week?
There are 14 days in 2 weeks.
In a two-week span. All right.
So when someone says
here,
to you,
I have this calendar here.
See how unfair he is.
Podcast, you'll just have to imagine. Someone drew, here, zoom in on this. Someone drew, this wasn't me, someone drew a great big happy face when Joe was leaving for Florida. And you said 2 weeks. So let's count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14.
That's the day
meaning
done.
You should not be here tonight. See, there's a big X through it. You should not be here.
You know what? Really, really, I got to talk to your wife because something's missing from your diet. Something is absolutely missing.
14 days. It's right here.
You're not getting
right
enough
here.
Iron
all
or
right.
something.
Let's get to the program.
I'm back.
We have all these great basketball
yes,
minds
do.
Here. Don't interrupt them tonight.
You and I should just be
go.
Quiet and let them talk basketball. These guys know what they're talking about.
I'm trying to right okay. now. Before we start talking about boys, I got to ask these guys about girls basketball because we're used to, in this RCN viewing area, we see some good teams, some very good teams from time to time, and we also see some very good players from time to time. This year, I think we are loaded all over the viewing map. I mean, Easton, they've gone through adversity. They lost Blaschik early in the season. They lost Myers, a Division I player, late in the season. And they went out and beat a very good Parkland team for the EPC Championship. And then you look at Parkland, and they got Ewald and Piston and all these great players. And you go to Northampton, they have Blunt, who's averaging 20 points per game, and a freshman who's shooting the lights out from three-point range. Nazareth has great players. Southern Lehigh has great players. Palisades has Division I players.
Liberty.
We could go on and on right. talking about the special talent. And they're smart, too, which really has impressed me this year. But are we looking at one of the best all-time years as far as girls basketball in the viewing area? Tume, we'll start with you.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've been very impressed with the ladies out there. They're playing very hard and showing a lot of grit out there and mm-hmm. just, you know, showing a lot of skill as well. You want to compare them to some of the greatest, though. I mean, you know, obviously Central Catholic has a lot of teams out there that will contest. Yeah. We just saw a great player last year in Calista Walters who took her team all the way to the state final, I believe, 1 year. So I don't want to quite put them up, but I will comment on the depth. I think the depth is very intriguing.
Yeah, because I've seen five girls games this year, and they're very fundamentally sound. They don't make a lot of mistakes. In fact, the one game, there was like a minute left in the fourth quarter, and a girl, you know, made a bad pass. That's the first mental mistake I've seen the whole game. Tom and Andre, your thoughts on the girls' basketball this year?
Well, I was fortunate to work with Gary, and we did the Easton Parkland girls' game. I'll tell you what, Coach Lutz and that team, you talk about executing on the offensive end, and as Toomey said, playing hard, lots of guts, lots of glory. They just laid it out on the line, and they ran an offense where they brought everybody above foul line and foul line extended. And they just motion, cutting, big girls could handle the ball, backdoor cuts. They just executed on the offensive end. And they played good defense. They shut down a good Parkland team, Nadine Ewald, I believe. Nice inside player. And the Easton girls did a tremendous job.
Yep. Andre, how about your thoughts on girls' basketball this year?
Well, Chris, I've only covered two girls' basketball games all season. Mm-hmm.
One was Liberty against Becca, and the other one was Eastern against Parkland. The Liberty game was interesting. Jocelyn Jones of Becca, who's going to Bloomfield College in D2, college in New Jersey, is one of the top colleges in New Jersey. They got four Division I transfers coming to that powerhouse. And Liberty's Caitlin West, she's going to IMG Academy in Florida. I think she is probably a D1 player. She's not getting a lot of looks because in the Lehigh Valley, people aren't concerned about people who pass the ball. She passes the ball a lot.
Score points, right?
They want to get score points.
Yeah.
So she's not getting a fair shake, I think.
Yeah. Something else I wanted to talk about with girls basketball, and this is actually a bit of a concern of mine, and I think girls basketball and maybe even the smaller boys and even mid-level boys-sized schools might have this problem going forward. And really, I think it could be a major concern for future years. The issue is next year we go to the six classifications, and I know there's a lot of good reasons for this, but I think one of the concerns with six classifications, right now District 11 has a great format, I think. You have girls and boys split up. The teams in our coverage area, you have the 3A bracket playing on the Tuesday, Friday. The 4A boys play on the Wednesday, Saturday. And that allows, this Friday, we're going to be seeing the girls' doubleheader at Catasauqua featuring Parkland and Easton, taking on Northampton and Pocono Mount East. So there's some exposure for the girls. Next year, instead of having one bracket, we could have two or three brackets all playing at the same time involving our local teams. I know we're a long ways away and maybe someone can come up with a great formula, but do you think the smaller schools and girls basketball might take a hit in future years with the new classifications?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a valid point, but I think the point I like to make on that is, you know, with the more classifications is gives more opportunities for an opportunity to win a championship for the girls and for the guys, and to me that's always very special as a player that you want every opportunity you can to win a championship, and now there's the competition going to be more split and more fair, so you know, yeah, they may not get as much exposure with the new format, but I think overall an opportunity to win a championship, you know, trumps all that.
But it might be watered down. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on now, Tume. A more chance to win a championship. If you can't get the job done with 4As, then why to go to 6As?
Yeah, I think we're going to have that.
Because it's all about the chips.
It's all about the chips. It's all about that paper. You know that, Dre. You know that.
Good point, though, Andre. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how the different matchups go because obviously there's going to be a lot of competition. There's the 6A schools are going to be very similar, and then in some of the lesser classifications or lower classifications, you're going to have only a few teams.
Chris, I'm confused right now with all the classifications. Now we're adding two more, and once it all plays out, we'll see, and then we can make pass reserve judgment till it happens and see how it plays out.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to criticize anything. This, you know, they could have a plan in place or they might develop something. Athletic directors, I know, have 200 things to worry about between this now and trying to get ready for that new thing, and that's probably right now further down the list.
We might have to bring Joe out for TV next year to do a couple of games.
He would have no problem with
that. This whole six divisions, and I'm talking football, basketball, I'm not as excited about it as some other people are. And I see it fraught with things, problems that they haven't thought about, that they're going to find out about as they go. Football's a prime example. I don't know how they're going to do that in football. I know it gives more teams a chance to win championships. More kids get to play beyond the regular season, and that's a good thing. But there are going to be problems. You know, six divisions in basketball, you know, if you've got two working crews at a TV station, you can only be in two places. And if there's places going four different sites, people are not going to be on TV that are used to being on TV. It's going to happen.
Same with newspapers. There's only so many reporters, photographers.
Only so many radio, even radio, which does very few games anymore. If they wanted to do them, a lot of teams are going to get shut out because it's so spread out. I think it's got some problems, and I don't know that they've thought them all through.
That's true, man. I mean, that's a definitely good point. Looking at some of the brackets in the other districts now, going out of District 3, and I see they play all their games at the Hershey Arena. I mean, it's a beautiful, sparkling arena right downtown. It would be nice if they would use that up, and you could use a whole full day of boys, a lot of
action. But how'd you like to be from Kutztown and have to play all your playoff games in Hershey?
That's a
freaking 50-mile ride.
It's a little ride.
And that could be, if you really got a hot team in Pottsville, that's a long ride to play somebody from right down the road just because it happens to be a big facility.
I hope it works. I truly do.
Right.
But I'm not as confident with it as some other people are.
All right.
Well, what's the reason for it, though, by the way?
I think it's money. To be honest with you, I believe money has something to do with it. See, the more games you play, the more playoffs you have, what does that give you? It gives you more crowds, if you can get crowds. And if there's not going to be that many TV coverages, I don't think it's going to affect crowds that much. So you're going to make more money because there's going to be more games. I believe that's – I don't think that's the primary reason they did it, but I think it's – I think it's one of the side things that's going to come of it, and I don't think anybody's really unhappy with that possibility. Let's put it that way.
But when it comes down to championship day, especially like basketball, you're going to just have a full day of slate of games, whether it be at the the new arena or it be at Freedom, or whether it be in – you're going to have a Friday night and a Saturday. And but up to that, getting to that point, there might be some problems.
Well, the other problem with the six divisions, and I've been thinking a lot about this, there's a lot of districts in this state that don't have that wider variety of size schools.
Yeah.
There's going to be some districts that are only going to have two or three divisions in the whole district. There's some things that are going to come out of this. It's going to be interesting to see how it handles. Maybe it'll work out. I truly hope it does. But I think they're going to have to take a real close look at some things.
Too many. Did you want to say something?
I'm sure.
It's all good. I mean, I know in football, I know they combine some of the districts.
Yeah, they just have
sub-regionals
or
something like that.
That.
So, I mean, I don't doubt these guys at PAA. There's some smart guys over there. I'm not going to sit here and doubt these guys. They know what they're doing. I think, they do it in other states, so I'm sure there's some kind of a formula that they're going to follow. And, it's going to be interesting to see. But I think, like I said, like a team like Whitehall, for instance, in a football who play against these powerhouses like Parkland, I'm no bias at all. They're going against teams with more kids in the school, more opportunities. So them going against playing against more teams that are in the same range as them, could give them a better opportunity. So I'm excited for it. Things start to get a little stale out here. It's like to spicing things up a little bit. You know what I mean?
Before Tom starts ripping the EPC schedule, I want to talk some positive things and talk about actual games last night. And Tom's probably going to take over the show here because you were at Liberty Nazareth last night. Very good ball game. Your thoughts on that game? Also, Whitehall beat Southern Lehigh in a close ball game. And Freedom lost to Stroudsburg again. So some interesting action last night.
Chris, the game you and I did, obviously, Liberty and Nazareth. Liberty is an interesting team.
Mm-hmm.
They've been very inconsistent at times. But when they put it all together, they have the pieces. They go to 6'7", 6'8", Hudak and Hoffman. You got Amir Griffin, who maybe doesn't score a lot, but he's a glue player. He'll play some defense. You have Victor Santiago, who scores 1 point a game, but he still is a factor in the game because he can play defense. You got the sophomore Serrano, nice wing player that's getting better with his jump shot. And then you have the X factor, Jeremy Johnson. When he plays well, that team just elevates to a different level. And, they got a tough task. They play Parkland. But, again, it's been an interesting group, and Chad has a lot of them guys back next year. So we'll see. But that was a good game we did last night. Yeah. And the defense, second half, they came out two turnovers right off the bat. They up-tempoed the defense. They got Nazareth to turn the ball over. And that just set the tone for the second half, and Liberty was in control. And, it's an interesting ball club, but again, the good news is they beat Nazareth. The bad news is they got the Trojans coming up.
Well, Liberty's played a very tough schedule. They've played a lot of tough teams out of the area. So their record, it doesn't reflect so well. But, obviously in conference they did
fairly well in conference.
And I agree with you, but can you say East Stroudsburg South?
That
one, how do you figure that one out?
There's high school basketball.
Kids
going to be kids. But you said it, you hit it right on the point. They have talent. They have talent on that team. They have size. And nobody else, size-wise, can probably match up with Parkland area like Liberty can. So I think, it's going to be an intriguing matchup on a Saturday evening. It's going to be very intriguing over at Freedom.
I think that Liberty East Stroudsburg South game, you're never as bad as you think on your worst loss, but you're also never as good as you were when you really played great. Mm-hmm. You're always going to be somewhere with you. That was their bad one. They had a bad one.
Yeah.
And it happens, but be interesting.
Dre, your thoughts on the playoffs so far? And the inevitable question is, what does Liberty have to do to try to hang with Parkland on Saturday?
Liberty has to run, simply. They got to run. They got to get the ball out, and they got to run. If they can run, they got a shot. I say it because Allen challenged Parkland, And Allen should have beat Parkland in that thriller, 82-74, that Parkland beat him. Parkland had a problem with the athleticism of Allen, of
Talique Williams.
Yeah. And Martin, you were saying, you were really high on Tyrese Martin.
Tyrese Martin. They put it on Allen. They put it on Parkland big time.
There's not too many players that have Talique Williams and a Tyrese Martin, though, on their team. So, you know, that's, you know, but they do, Liberty has some of those pieces of athleticism to match up with that. But, you know, they do have that Chad Landis. And that Chad Landis has, he's a solid coach. He knows what he's doing. He's been in his position many times before. His teams always, you know, get better towards the end of the season. So I fully expect Liberty to contend this Saturday.
With both you guys, they need to run. Right. But at the same time, Coach Landis has them prepared in the half-court set where they can run sets.
Right.
And they can reverse the basketball, and they can get some back cuts. And they're patient, and they do a very nice job. So they got almost like Allen did, have to play that perfect game.
Right.
But it's anything's possible. That's why you play the game.
And you can't give Parkland too many open looks. I mean, because they'll kill you. They're going to hit shots. And if they can play defense and be on people and not give them a lot of easy baskets, who knows what happens. They're high school kids. Anything can happen.
I don't want to look too far ahead at another potential Allen-Parkland matchup because Allen has to deal with Emmaus first and Parkland has to deal with Liberty.
And that won't be easy.
But, Tom, we heard a few people last night saying that the Allen-Parkland EPC championship game was one of the best games they've seen in decades. I think that might be a little extreme, but it certainly was a great game.
It was one of the most entertaining games in decades. Really? And I've seen a lot of basketball like all these guys have, and we all have, but... you know, for pure excitement and adrenaline, you turn back the clock. Liberty's Memorial Gymnasium was almost sold out. Both sides were, you know, student section. Everything was just there. And I just, as the game was going, I said on air, and Allen, can they sustain it? Mm-hmm. And they were up 5, 69-64. And Tyrese Martin, who had one whale of a game, took it in. He went in. He wanted to slam it. And you can't fool him. It caromed off the rim, went to half court. Next thing you know, Parkland gets a jailbreak, and the two they didn't get and the two they got, it's a four-point swing. But you can't take anything away from Doug Snyder and that group that night. They played their hearts out.
Yeah. Dre and Tuba, thoughts on that game?
It was a great game. I think Coach Stout hit it right on the button. Excitement. I mean, playing in a lot of games, watching a lot of games, I don't know if I've seen the game more exciting. There have been some other great games. I remember Ray Barbosa taking on Mac Will in that championship game back in the early 2000s for district championship. Art Thriller, I mean, 98, Jerry Lloyd from half court for district championship. But excitement as far as high-level players playing at a high level and doing great things down the court, it was very exciting. It was great to watch.
I still get goosebumps talking about it.
See, Luke Williams had three absolutely amazing dunks in that game. Yeah. I mean, that was amazing.
And Tom brings up the one he missed.
That's because Tom never was able to touch the rim.
He's terrific. And the best thing about it, he's back another year. As are so many kids, so many players in the EPC.
Yeah.
Wow.
Tom, have you seen, I mean, as far as depth in that 2017 class, you know, do you think you've seen that kind of talent in this area in that kind of time?
This is so many underclassmen, whether it be 17, even 18.
Right.
You know, but just I'm looking for this year. We've got a long way to go, but I'm looking forward to the next year and the year after.
Right.
You know? Now, the tough thing about Allen is because they either have to beat Parkland or their season comes to an end because they're going to face each other in a very tough upper bracket of the 4A bracketing. Can Allen do it again? Do you think if Allen would win and face Parkland again, do you think they could beat Parkland in another matchup?
I say yes. As long as Tyrese Martin and Talique Williams are on, anything's possible. They need J.J. Winslow as a point, though. Mm. He's an amazing point guard who can get inside the paint and distribute or score. He wasn't able to play in the last game.
See, Andre, on that, to piggyback a little bit on that, that last game, you know, he was hurt. He hurt his knee the previous game against Pocono Mountain West. They needed him down the stretch in that game. But if he plays in that game, I don't think Tyrese Martin or Talique Williams have that kind of game because they're not going to have the ball as much. So it's a double-edged sword because you really needed him down the stretch. They missed him, but up to that last 4.5 minutes – maybe it was better they didn't have. He's a terrific player. He's really come on. And I think that's been a big plus for Coach Snyder's team this year is how his point guard play has elevated as the season has gone on. He's so strong, he can get to the rim. But that was, I don't know, do you agree with that?
Yeah, that's a good point. But, I think, like you said, Allen played a superb game. Parkland, they played pretty well too, but Allen played really a superb game, and they're going to have to do that again, and that's asking a lot for those kids. But, we'll see. Those are two special players, Coach, and, they're going to have to rise up to the occasion if they want to elevate, Allen over a Parkland team.
But in the last game, Talik Williams proved he can play the point guard position.
Right.
And he played doggone good, too.
And he sure did. And it's just the last 3 or 4 minutes, Allen didn't know if they wanted to attack. They wanted to pull it out. And you know Allen loves to play one way.
Right.
Attack. And I've had some teams in my time, not quite as good as Doug, but when do you pull it out? When do you hold up? And that's where... Yeah, you got to make that decision, and it was just a shame somebody had to lose that game the other night. That was a tremendous ball game.
Our special guests are Tume Anderson and Andre Williams from LVBasketballRankings.com, Tom Stout from the RCN Sports Department talking district basketball. We'll mix in some NBA talk in just a few moments. Right now, though, we had some great responses to last week's trivia question. A number of people emailed in the correct answer to us. So we have our annual drawing here. Joe, I'll let you do the honors. Pick out a name. The question, by the way, was prior to this, correctly identify all of last year's Colonial League and EPC Boys and Girls Champions. So, Joe, identify the correct answer, and whose name did you pull out of the hat here?
All right. Let me give you the answers first. The East Penn Conference Boys Champs were Parkland. Colonial Boys were Bangor. East Penn Girls was Bethlehem Catholic. Colonial Girls was Notre Dame, and I picked out the name of Jeff Silfies.
All right, Jeff, thanks for playing. If you could send us your mailing address, and we'll send the prize to you. All right, now it is time for tonight's trivia question to give you another chance to win a very nice prize. And tonight's question for trivia is, prior to this year, when was the last time the Easton girls basketball team won a league title? We've changed leagues quite a few times over the years, but prior to this year, when Easton won the EPC last week, prior to this year, when was the last time the Easton girls basketball team won a league title? And here's more information on how and what you can win.
You could win a $10 gift certificate to use to see the latest movies and the hottest music, sports, and pay-per-view events on RCN On Demand. You can only win one gift certificate every 4 months. But if you haven't won a prize in the last 30 days, you may be able to win another great prize. Call or email us right now with your trivia response. Callers get priority. But if we don't get a caller with the correct answer during tonight's live sports talk show, we'll take all email responses and conduct a random drawing on our next live show to determine the winner. Watching the show on replay or VOD? Send us your guess now, and you just might win an RCN On Demand $10 certificate. Good luck with Sports Talk Trivia.
All right, that trivia question one more time. Prior to this year, when was the last time Easton girls won a league basketball title? We'll continue our Pennsylvania high school basketball talk in just a moment, but right now a recap of some entertaining high school basketball going on down in the D.C. area with our DKN Sports Minute.
This is the DKN Sports Minute. In the DCI AA division, it was the one everyone's been waiting for, a battle between the top-ranked teams. The number one HD Woodson Warriors faced off against the number two Roosevelt Rough Riders. Woodson got off to a hot 11-0 start, but Roosevelt closed the gap with three-pointers and remained close. Late in the third period, tensions ran into the red as both head coaches and players got into a heated exchange that cleared the floor for 10 minutes. In the end, it came down to two free throws. Sophomore Keon Boyd sank a pair of free throws with 2 seconds left on the clock. The Woodson Warriors escape with the win, 78-77, to remain undefeated. The first team to do so since 1985. This has been the DKN Sports Minute.
Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk. Our special guests tonight, Tom Stout from the RCN Sports Department, lead basketball analyst Andre Williams, and Tume Anderson from LVBasketballRankings.com, which is a great site. I want to get the website right, LVBasketballRankings.com. You guys do a great job with that. Dre, you want to talk about D.C. basketball, too, in a moment, too. Before I get to Tume, I want to ask you, in LV basketball rankings, I've done a lot of great charity events. I know money was in the area. Darren Hillard, who we had on the show recently, too. You talk about some of the other events that you sponsor and you're a part of in the community.
This past weekend, we actually just held an event, Coaches versus Cancer event. We came up with that event to end the season for the junior high and the JV players because, they play their season and
sure.
Season just ends and that's that. So
no playoffs for that.
Yeah, no playoffs or anything for that. So we kind of developed that, and we had a lot of great teams come in. Emotep came in, Scranton Prep, a lot of great teams from outside the area. It's a great event so that we use our proceeds to donate to the Coaches versus Cancer Society. And, we'll continue just to push out different events to expose the rest of the world to our great area of basketball and want to bring more people into the Lehigh Valley. We're always going, to different areas and so forth and playing. So we're trying to bring more people to the Valley to play. And, so it's just one of the few things that we're doing.
Yeah. And Joe actually made a good point during our commercial break. Dre, you actually started in the Washington area, so you're very familiar with some of those teams that we see in our DKN Sports Minute each week.
Yes, I started working for the Washington Post.
Yeah.
I covered some amazing basketball players. Grant Hill was one of them.
Yeah,
Monty Williams, who's the Oklahoma Thunder's assistant basketball coach,
mm-hmm.
He once threw the ball off the backboard and dunked it in the game.
Okay.
That's himself. The type of level of basketball players that I covered down there.
Yeah.
But I want to talk about H.D. Woodson.
Mm-hmm.
It was before I was a sophomore year in high school. H.D. Woodson beat Montgomery Blair, the school I played for. They beat us bad in the game. But then we had to ride back home in a cold bus because they shattered our bus windows.
It is a different brand of basketball than I was going to say.
Yeah,
I don't know about that
story.
Right. But, we did a few games down there a couple years ago. And it is, you have one player playing above the rim here. It's pretty special.
Right.
There it's all five players are playing above the rim.
Yeah.
And
it's huge down there.
Yeah.
Huge.
All right. Joe, I want to thank you for saying that. Even though, according to this calendar, you weren't supposed to be right here. 14 days, so you're not supposed to be back here.
Just make it up as you go along.
Let's go to the phone lines here. Let's go to Barbara in Catasauqua. She wants to take a shot at our trivia question. Barbara, welcome to RCN Sports Talk.
Oh, thank you.
Hi. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
All right. Our trivia question tonight, prior to this year, when was the last time Easton girls won a league basketball title? Do you have a guess for us?
Yes, 40 years ago.
40 years ago,
do you know the year?
1970.
Yeah, very good. You got it.
Oh, wow.
You must be one of those Easton people. They know everything about their teams, that's for sure. That was good.
Well, I was watching the game the other night. That's what you said.
So they mentioned
wait,
it.
Wait. Did Tom Stout say it was 40 years ago in 1970?
No, I did.
I don't know who said it, but somebody said it, and I just remembered that was on when we were watching the game.
Very good.
Gary
very good.
Mentioned the other night.
Oh, so you're throwing Gary under the bus that he
Gary mentioned
had.
It. All right, you go.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, I didn't mean
No, go ahead.
No, I know
you came all the way to Florida.
You like to handle this part of the show. You're going to let her know about our prize. Right?
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say, too. Barbara, anything else for us?
No.
All right.
Just hope you can talk about Caddy one day again.
Yeah, I'd like to. We haven't talked about 2A boys basketball.
Let me tell you about the
years.
Greatest player I ever saw in the Lehigh Valley.
In the playoffs.
Larry Miller from Catasauqua.
That was 40 years.
I brought up Caddy last night on our telecast.
Yeah, but I mean Caddy or Penn Argyle being in the playoffs.
I wish they could get back there,
Catasauqua. Now, Catasauqua. You see what you started with Caddy.
That's all right, Barbara. Thanks so much for getting us
good call. On.
Okay, thank
Thanks
you.
Thanks a
good
lot.
Night.
Good night,
Barbara.
Came all the way back.
I could tell you some of the starting players on that team. I'm telling you, that was a great team.
You couldn't tell the starting players on this year's teams.
I'm talking about Larry Miller's
I
team.
I know. We're in doing a playoff call this year.
I'm sorry. I was in another time frame.
You often are in a time frame.
That's what
Real
happens.
Quickly here. We're running late on time this segment. 4A boys. I want to finish up on them because there's the top bracket is very tough. Ooh. In the other bracket, you have Pocono Mountain West. Had a very good year. Stroudsburg beat Freedom last night. Whitehall got by Southern Lehigh, and you have Bangor. So your thoughts on the lower half of the 4A bracket?
Pocono Mountain West.
Tom, you got a smirk on your head there.
Tom, again, I'm looking at Whitehall, and you couldn't ask for a better draw. Now, I know Bron Holland and the Bangor Slaters are going to be a little upset right now, but Whitehall played Southern Lehigh in a tough game, beat them, and now they have Bangor. And no disrespect, And Bangor is 4A, and they have a nice team, Mike Martino and and a couple of good shooters. But that's an easier path than going through Parkland. And again,
and Allen and Emmaus.
And Allen and Emmaus. But it is what it is. And, you know, I know Bangor's going to come, and they're going to play their hearts out. And, you know, they could very easily beat Whitehall. But you talk about a game here or there and the power rankings, and you get a seed and you fall. Allen and Emmaus play, and the loser's going home.
Yeah. Well, I have one problem with, and I've always felt this way, and it's not the first time you're going to hear me say this, Chris. I don't like league champions getting an automatic one or two seed. I don't like that. I can understand giving them a little extra points or something in the seeding process, but when you look at this bracketing and the way this is laid out here, if Pocono Mountain West doesn't come out of that lower bracket, I'll be shocked. I think it's by far the best team in the bracket, personally, if they're playing like they're capable of playing. And I feel sorry for William Allen and Emmaus. I mean, you know, that they've got to, and Liberty, too. I mean, they got to be up there in the bear market, and it's going to be a tough haul for whoever just to get into the, you know, to get into the state playoff.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm looking at that Bangor team over there, Coach Stout. You know,
I'm never going to be able to go to Bangor.
No, I'm looking at that Bangor team over there, and you know, and yes, you know, they have one loss all season. You know, it's a tough team. They did go and beat Stroudsburg only in Stroudsburg, so I'm going to give them credit for that. And you know, the point guard, you know, he's growing on me by the second. You know, he's a four-year starter. I think people
three
are right off
bank.
You know, I know it's traditionally, you know, that two, they've been getting that two seed the last couple of years, and they've been having some trouble. But I'm circling this year, Coach. You mark my word. Yeah. Tomb Vision's in action.
But
Bangor's taking out Whitehall.
Mr. Tomb Vision, you got your boy Mikey Esquellin playing on that other squad right there.
He's
just a problem. That's your boy.
He's super talented.
All right.
Super talented.
The problem is you get a Bangor who, and they have a nice, don't get,
I'm
people
not,
I need to understand. We know Bangor is a nice basketball
and
team.
Holland
and they've
is
got
an
a, he does
coach.
A great job. But they're not, when you play 20-some games against that competition, and then you got to go up against somebody from the Beast Division where you've got so much quickness, so many hands, so many flyers.
True.
You know, it's a different level of basketball. It's like when our guys leave here and then have to go down and play down in District 1 or District 12.
Right.
You know, it's a different kind of basketball.
No question about
and
it.
And I think that's what you see there.
No question about it.
Basically, Joe, what you're saying is Whitehall is already looking forward to a second-round match against Pocono Mountain West.
Well, I don't know that Whitehall's the team. I think, I could be very honest with you, I think Bangor's very lucky it's Whitehall. That it wasn't, let's say, an Emmaus that got down there.
Or an
Allen that got there. Or a Liberty that got down there. Because any of those teams are capable of winning that bracket. So I think Bangor has a shot at beating Whitehall. I'd say 50-50. I think Bangor could win that.
Same thing. I agree. You look at the top half and you look at the bottom half.
Yeah,
and it's like the heavyweight division against,
But that happens. You know, that happens. And as long as league champions are given a top seed, you're going to have that kind of thing possibility.
And we used
about.
To have with Pocono when they had we had three. Now
yes.
it's down to two.
Yes.
But still, I agree with you, Joe. I give them a little extra whatever, but I don't like the seeding them second.
You know, the only interesting thing in question is Allen and Emmaus, they could have jumped West. And let's say West had a better season than probably both of those two teams. So, you know, I mean, they had their chances all season long to improve their rankings.
Yeah.
They didn't get it done.
Good
this
point.
Is how it is.
Yep. And you got to live with it.
We're going to have to play ball.
We're going to take a look at the 3A standings and the brackets in just a moment. But right now it's time for Thumbs Up, Thumbs Down, where our panelists identify someone or a group of people in the world of sports for doing something extraordinarily well or singling out someone for doing something not so good. Real quickly, I'm going to do mine so these guys can have more time. But a thumbs up to the Easton and Peaburg Middle Schools. They're going to compete on the Winter Classic for charity. So Easton and Peaburg's Ice Hockey Club, Tuesday, February 23rd, 7 p.m. at the Bethlehem Municipal Ice Rink. For more information, EastonIceHockeyClub.com. They're doing a great job. Middle school kids playing to raise money for local charities. Joe?
Well, thumbs down. McCoy, running back. Come on. You're making millions of dollars a year. What are you doing in a bar in the middle of the night getting into a fight? Like, nobody's going to know it's you. Right. Thumbs down. Stupidity.
And this isn't his first time being stupid.
He could have done it up in Buffalo.
He could have done it in Philly, of all places, right?
Too big?
It was just sticking in the news. When I think I'm usually a positive guy, but this time, Coach Dow, I'm giving a thumbs down. Manny Pacquiao, thumbs down to you, dude.
Right.
Thumbs down to you. What's going on here? We're calling people animals now. I mean, yeah. Manny Pacquiao, I love boxing. You've done great humanitarian work, but...
2016.
Thumbs down on that one, yeah, dude. You gotta go on.
All right, Tom's been hiding his answer ever since he arrived here in the studio.
I've been waiting. This is to Phil Martelli and the St. Joe Hawks.
Oh, yeah.
Who, 11-2 in the A-10, 22-4 overall. Big win over Dayton, 79-70.
Just had Isaiah Miles on the show a couple weeks ago.
15th ranked team in the country was Dayton. Give Phil Martelli and his squad tremendous. Does a tremendous job with that program. It's a big time program in eyes,
right, yeah.
But compared to North Carolina, Duke, but year in and year out, Phil Martelli, superb job, and they beat Scoochie Smith, the 6'2 guard from the Bronx, who led the Dayton Flyers. But Phil Martelli and the Hawks.
Hey, going back on Phil Martelli and the Hawks, you know, we'll give them some more credit because they did have an assistant coach, Coach Jeff Arnold. Was in the Canary cage to check out the Canaries, check out a game. So extra credit points to St. Right. Joe's.
Dre, how about you? Thumbs up or thumbs down?
I'm going to go thumbs up for Kimbo Slice. The MMA fighter. He's added a lot of color to the box, just sort of a kick butt.
Yeah.
All right. Talking about killing people, punching them out. Doing everything, man. I like his style.
All right. Our special guest, Dre Williams, and Tumay Andrews from LVBasketballRankings.com. Tom Stout from the RCN Sports Department. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
Chance to interact with us.
Call, email, or tweet us your sports comments, questions, and opinions.
We want to hear from you right now.
And now, here's more RCN Sports Talk.
Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk. Our special guest, Tom Stout, lead basketball analyst from the RCN Sports Department, joined by Tumay Anderson and Andre Williams. Joe Craig is back here 2 days earlier than expected.
It never ends.
You know, before we get to the 3A bracket, we've been putting him off because Joe's talking too much here. What are you talking about during the commercial? You're giving Tumay, by the way, congratulations Tumay on your marriage recently. Joe's been giving you marital advice here, which is probably not a good thing to do.
Try to spread the word, that's all.
Just ignore everything he says tonight. Just want to give people a heads up of our broadcast schedule coming up on RCN this weekend. A lot of great games. Friday night, live at 6 p.m., we're going to have the Northampton-Parkland girls basketball game, followed by Pocono Mount East, and then the Easton girls basketball game that will also be live. And then on tape delay, we will have Bethlehem Catholic and Central Catholic on the air tape delay at 9:30. Then Saturday, Tom Stout and Gary Laubach will have the call of the Parkland Liberty boys game. That is a change. They moved that game to 6 o'clock, but we will have the game live at 6, followed by Emmaus Allen, also live with Gary and Tom Saturday. So some great high school basketball action to check out on RCN TV. Speaking of Central and Becca, Dre, we'll start with you in the 3A bracket. I think that's going to be a great game between the Vikings and the Hawks on Friday night.
Oh, most definitely. With Central Cav, you got Zay Jennings, who's a shooter. He's on a 29-1 Central Cav team a few years ago with Muhammad Abdur. Muhammad Ali Abdul Rahman, excuse me.
There you go.
How many people could say his name, even though he played for
But Bethlehem Catholic is an interesting team.
Yeah.
Ray Barbosa, the leading scorer in the Lehigh Valley history, has done a heck of a job with the Golden Hawks this year.
Yeah. They played well against Parkland the other night, too.
Yes.
Beat Liberty twice.
His little brother, DeAndre Tillett, is capable of running a good show. They got a big man in Quakey Donson. He's with a handful for Central Catholic to handle.
Yeah.
I think the Golden Hawks are going to win the game.
Really? You're going to pick Becca?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Tom and Tumay?
Both teams
had moments this year where they looked really, really good. Other times where they were a little inconsistent. And I think you can say that about everybody in the Lehigh Valley Conference, with the exception of the Parkland Trojans. But, or the EPC conference, I apologize. But how about this one? Don't get me started, but Becca and Central, they haven't played this year. Are you kidding me? We're in the same league. Allen and Parkland the other night, Chris. They didn't play this year.
You've told me. A lot of people have told us.
Liberty playing Parkland this weekend? They didn't play this year. What's going on here in this EPC conference? I don't get it.
We need to have a show.
Tumay, cut him off.
We
went over that.
Tumay,
your thoughts on the 3A bracket.
Obviously, man, Becca Central is a big first-round game. People need to be aware of, obviously, Pottsville's having a superb year. Undefeated once again. They have a big kid out there, 6'8" big kid sophomore. Coach, you're going to see him when you see them play. He's playing very well this year. But, you know, look down the bottom path, Salisbury, Blue Mountain. They played earlier this year as well. Salisbury handled them very easily. So I'm looking at Salisbury to come out of the bottom portion. And I think Becca, you know, the size. I like the size of Becca. So I think they can come out of the top half.
Yeah. Anyone else thoughts on the Falcons? Well, go ahead, Tom. You were going
to
say something else.
I just wanted to piggyback with what Andre said about Becca. The Dawson, Kwaku,
Dawson Amoa.
This young man, they don't run any plays for him. He just goes and gets the rebound. And he's averaging like 15-9 a game.
Yeah.
I'd love to have a guy like that. And I don't think Central has that guy. Shaq, DeZoni gets inside sometimes.
Yeah, right.
But Central don't have a guy to match up with Dawson. I think that could be the difference.
Yeah, Dawson wasn't even voted as an all-league player.
How about that?
That was a little, you know, I'm guessing him and DeAndre split votes possibly, but, you know, but it's very intriguing. He's an intriguing player and should be an intriguing game.
Yeah, and the Falcons didn't have any all Colonial League first-teamers either, which I didn't understand.
Oh, wow.
Just a solid team. Just a solid team.
All right, it's time for the roundtable. The roundtable is a part of our show where we have a mix of local and national issues that we throw around to our panelists, and they do not know what's coming prior to their arrival in the studio, but as always, we look for an entertaining exchange of thoughts and opinions. Topic number one. I'm cutting you a break. I could say something, but I'm going to cut a break here. NBA talk. Deadline came and went today. There were some rumors that the Sixers were exploring or hearing offers about Jahlil Okafor. It did not come to fruition. Sixers did not trade Okafor. But should they? I mean, they could still trade him in the offseason. They've been trading away top players a couple years now. Your thoughts on the tank? Sit down, Tom. Calm down here. I'm going to go with Tumay first here. Thoughts on the whole Hinkie system, and should they trade Jahlil Okafor?
The system's obviously, it has to be questioned at this point. But Okafor is an intriguing prospect. No, I'm not trading Jahlil Okafor. You need those points in the paint. I still believe that's how you play basketball. Start inside, workout. If you have somebody you can dump the ball in that can demand a double team, coach, you know how that is. You start with inside out. I'm keeping Okafor.
Are the Sixers in the NBA yet?
Oh, man.
What, 8-45? Are you kidding
Simmons?
What year is this in their plan of rebuilding? Is this 3-4?
If they get Ben Simmons, they get a couple more draft picks, they'll be fine now. They can start the building process after this year. I want Simmons, though.
You're talking to a New York Knicks fan, and Kristaps Porzingis, you know, Knicks, you know, we couldn't get rid of Carmelo, but he's playing even better. But the Knicks still got a long way to go, but they're in better shape than the Sixers. That's all I have to say.
Well, so is Harrison Morton Jr. High School.
Oh, wow.
Dre, what should the Sixers do with Jahlil Okafor?
You got to build around a big guy. That's the bottom line.
What about Embiid?
Say what?
I think Sixers fans are wondering that too. Joel Embiid, yeah, you don't know. I mean, you know, maybe he's coming back, maybe he's not. Noel doesn't seem like the guy, but you would hold on to Okafor as well?
Definitely got to keep. The sky's the limit for Okafor.
Oh.
As long as he's not punching people out, he's going to be good.
That's another issue.
Joe? Oh, you don't trade. He's their best player right now. But he's got double-doubles every night just about. I mean, you got to keep a guy like that. It's time to draw the line and say, he stays, let's go. And you start building. I don't think they're as bad off as a lot of people do, because I see light there with some of the changes, not on the floor, but with some of the changes they've made in guys that are evaluating personnel. And now they've brought in a couple of people, and I think that's going to help them. And I think you keep Okafor and you go from there.
All right, topic number two. What's the most solid performance you saw by a team this year? Dre, we'll start with you. What was the most solid performance by a team that you came across?
Basketball?
Basketball. Any level. Yeah, you can do this for any level if you want. High school, college, or pro. Mm,
that's a tough one.
Well, I'm going to the game I covered on Saturday night. Allen versus Parkland.
Yeah.
Allen played phenomenal that game. Absolutely phenomenally. He had 31 points for Tyrese Martin. He had 27 points from Talik Williams. He had 33 points from Sam Aurelio for Parkland. Just absolutely amazing performances by those guys.
That would qualify as solid.
We'll argue with that one. Tom, how about
he
you?
He took my answer. I agree. Honest to God. Allen, in a
Drew
loss.
Says that all the time.
But in a loss, was the best, most solid performance that I saw this year in the high school level. And that was in a loss. And I coached some teams where we didn't win a whole lot. But again, you know when your team played as best, you played the best game and they put forth effort. And then add another guy for Allen, Dre, Naquan Feliciano.
Oh, yeah.
The wide body. He had a solid game. And, you know, he's not Talik Williams and he's not Tyrese Martin, but that young man played his heart out and did a phenomenal job. And I'm going to say the Allen Canaries.
All right. Way to steal his answer.
I'm sorry.
Tune, how about you?
Solid performance. I mean, I guess I'm going to divvy outside of the high school world. And I was at a performance at Madison Square Garden. I got to see Michigan play Penn State. I got to see Muhammad Ali Abdul-Rahman. That's how you say his name. All right. He went out there and had a solid performance on the big stage. I just thought that was just a great, you know, great to see him, you know, playing on Madison Square Garden floor. So, you know, going outside the box, that's the most solid performance I saw this year.
Very good. Mm-hmm. Joe?
I'm gonna go outside the high school ranks, too, and it'll be one that happened recently, and that would be Villanova's performance at Temple. Yeah. I thought it was a very solid performance, a team that's not used to being number one in the country against a really – what?
He watched Villanova Temple last night, Chris.
I did.
And we were doing
as claims to be hanging on every word.
We see where his priorities are.
I flipped back and forth. Thank God for remote control. But that was a great performance, and it was a heck of a basketball game. They are a really good basketball team.
All right, our special guests, Andre Williams, Tume Anderson, Tom Stout, will be back with our final segment. More roundtable topics right after this timeout. But right now it is Joe Craig's favorite part of the show. Even though he wasn't supposed to be here, we still have to do Joe's Take, where Joe gets to talk about anything that he wants to talk about going on in the world of sports. And I'm not allowed to interrupt him during his 60-second segment.
I'm glad that you honor that. Let me just say this. 2014 salary, NFL commissioner, Roger Goodell. Are you kidding me? 25 to 32 million. That's not thousand. That's $1 million to be the commissioner of the NFL. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That's way out of line. Yeah. Something is wrong in this world when guys that are running the pro sports thing and they've got owners who are doing it, and they got all these guys that are in charge of officials and in charge of hot dogs, and these guys are in charge of popcorn, and he's getting paid $30 million? Are you serious? We got police out there that are lucky to be able to make $50,000 a year, teachers sitting out there making $40,000 a year, and a lot of other people struggling, and we're paying that guy $25 to $30 million. That's Joe's Take.
Right. How's that one? We'll be back with more NCAA Sports Talk in just a moment. Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk, final minutes of our show. Continuing on with some topics here. Most challenging coaching job this winter. Wow. Dre, we'll start with you. What's the most challenging coaching job here?
Chad Letters of Liberty. He has 6'8 player Andrew Hudak, 6'7 Cameron Hoffman, yet they aren't winning like they should be winning. That's tough getting everybody else to be on the same page.
Oh, that's interesting. Tom, how about you?
I'm going to go with Dave Lutz from Easton. Now, they won the championship, but they didn't have the same lineup but maybe seven games all year due to some health issues, injuries, and sickness and whatnot. And to get that camaraderie and chemistry together and persevere, and look what they did. They won the championship.
Very good. Yeah. Tume?
Most challenging coaching job, I'm going to give this one to Coach Al Blunt over at Medical Academy. I mean, this guy, you're talking about a guy who has to wash the jerseys and has to figure out which kids are pulling up. It's a challenging situation over there that he has to deal with. And to think of his first year program, got his team qualified for states, know, they play a lot of teams in the Philly area and during the season. And he got to, for them to get you know, as many wins as it did, I think he deserves some kudos for him. Good job out there.
All right. Craig's not supposed to be here, so I'm skipping him. Topic number four, most underrated player from this past winter. Tumay, we'll come right back to you.
Most underrated player. I'm going to go out to Parkland and nominate Jack Dreisbach from Parkland.
Oh, that's a good answer.
Come on, man. This is LVBR. You
know, you're always watching.
You're always watching.
You're always watching.
We've been watching the Trojans, and we watch Jack. And, you know, the thing about Jack is when some of the other guys are not able to play, whether it's from foul trouble or they're at a football event or whatever, Jack steps up and he's a key part. When those guys are there and they need, you know, need him to do something else, rebound, assist, dive on the floor, he does that. Whatever is necessary, Dreisbach does.
Dre, we got 30 seconds. Who's your underrated player?
I'm gonna go with DeAndre Tillett, Ray Bubbles' little brother. Yeah. He can score, he can dish, and when he's on, the Hawks are gonna win.
Yeah, he looked good the other night. Tom, real quick, your underrated player?
I'm going to go with J.J. Winslow from Allen. As this season's progressed, you know, he's overshadowed by Martin and Talik Williams, but he's done a very nice job.
All right, we only got 10 seconds. Who's your surprise team in districts, by the way?
My surprise team to watch in districts is going to be, I'm going to stick with Becca.
Becca, Dre, do you have a?
Pocono Mountain West.
Pocono West. Tom?
I'm going to go with the Medical Academy.
My thanks to Tom Stout, Tumay Anderson, Andre Williams, our special guest, joining Joe Craig and myself. We'll see you next Thursday with another live edition of RCN Sports Talk. Good night, everyone. Thanks for watching.